Hello, hello. Hey, everybody. Charlie here. Just a fair warning before we get started. This episode is a little different, off. I don't know. I think it's... Well, you'll see. You'll see. Just wait. All right? Starting with the intro. You'll notice there's something different about that, too. So, it's like ripping a Band-Aid off, isn't it? Let's just get to it right now.
Texas. They say everything's bigger here, and they're right. We've got big cars, big hearts, and even bigger stakes. This is beef country, Texas. Home to the Alamo, and a state park so big that we named it just that. Big Bend. Call it that because it's really big and it bends. Duh. It's got a Texas-sized podcast as well. And this is it. Right here. Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. Yeehaw.
Welcome to the Fort Hood Great Big Podcast. Brianna is texting her sergeant. We'll wait.
Okay.
Are you done?
Yep.
All right. Well, welcome to the show, everybody. Welcome to the show. I am Charlie Mabe, and to my right is...
I'm Specialist Brianna Dew.
That's right, and you're listening to the Army's number one podcast.
That's right.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. We'll see how we're doing in the rankings after this show. Number two, here we come. Number two with a bullet. I've had those days. Those are tough days.
Yeah.
Yeah, so how's everything in your life, Brianna?
Pretty good.
Anything new?
Well, I had my birthday. I think we mentioned that.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Yes. I hosted a virtual birthday party.
You online. Did. I was part of that.
You were. It was so wonderful.
It was part of a video game. Mm-hmm. Video game is called Animal Crossing. In this video game, you have an island and you tend to the island, you build it up.
Yes.
And you can connect to your friends. If someone is your friend, you can go visit their island. And mm-hmm. So for Brianna's birthday, she invited a bunch of people.
Yes.
And I went over and I saw her island. That was so cool. That was so 2020.
That was when my island was 3-star.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone up in ranking in the world.
You have?
Yes. It started getting like, so I had stopped trying to improve my island overall and was mm-hmm. just like having fun in the game, not really having an objective or a goal. But when I was preparing for the party, I was setting stuff out and trying to have spots where people could sit down and we could take pictures, and like just doing that alone made me get the 4-star.
Oh, wow.
And then that's when I was like, you know what? Let me just go for the 5th. And it took me like 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's fantastic. I'm glad you got your 5th star.
Thank you.
The expense of most of our listening audience after that story. Because most people are going, what? Huh? Yeah. Huh? I thought this was a military podcast.
Yes, yes.
We are. She's wearing a uniform.
I am.
She really is. She's got the big old calf patch on one side.
Yes.
Because she's a member of the 1st Calf Band.
That's right.
I used to be a member of the 1st Calf.
I know.
First team.
Yes, Hoo-ah. First team.
First team.
And sound the charge.
That's right. You know, 2nd Infantry Division doesn't call themselves the 2nd team.
Yeah, that doesn't sound... You always want to be number one.
That's true. Yeah. You do. Well, that's why they got the
big... No one ever wants to be second.
The big patch.
Yes.
Number one, biggest patch in the Army.
It really is.
For the biggest podcast
in the Army. That's right.
Boom, Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
The great place.
That's right. So we had some fan mail.
Oh, my goodness.
We did. We got some fan mail. It was a person the other day. They sent us a message. It was Rosine Smith.
Ooh.
And her message said, hey. And so I replied back. And I said.
That was our submission?
I said, yeah, that was the submission. I said, okay. Hey. And then she sent a longer message.
Okay.
And I'm going to read it here on the air for everyone. This is from Rosine Smith. Rosine, we're glad you are listening. We're very pleased. Anybody can reach out to us. Our email address is forthoodpao@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you. We loved hearing from Rosine. She says, hello, nice to meet you. It's me, Sergeant Rosine Smith of the Southeastern United States, Kentucky, based in Kabul, Afghanistan. Do I hope you do well? I am working with the United States Air Force peacekeeping troop in Afghanistan in the War on Terror, which I have taken as a great privilege to serve my country. Fortunately, I have in my possession the sum of $3.5 million that I have here in Afghanistan. I deposited this money with a Red Cross agent. I want you to present yourself as my beneficiary and receive the fund and keep it safe until I can meet you. I have an urgent need to move this box from here because they are planning to take some troop out of Afghanistan that I am in. That's why I contacted you, and I believe in you that you can give me this confidence. Well, Rosine, thank you so much. I mean, we're honored that you would think that the podcast could be a steward of your $3.5 million, or as you put in parentheses, $3,500,000 United States dollars. You're very specific in that. As she goes on, she says, I must not fail to explain how I found this fund that I want you to use for investment. Our soldiers met and exchanged bullets with some gunmen, and three of our soldiers were eventually injured in the event, while more than 16 of the gunmen were killed, like a nurse in the army.
I'm so confused.
Me and my group rushed to provide medical care to our wounded men at the place where the 16 gunmen were shot dead. I saw two trunks and showed them to my partner and decided to open them and discovered a large amount of dollars, and we did the same with the other trunk and saw the same and quickly took the trunk since the money was shared between us. Now, Rosine, I would like to pause for a moment and extol the virtues of the use of a period. Periods allow people who are reading sentences to pause, which I would have liked to have done while reading your sentences. So in the future, periods, good thing. No periods.
There's a lot of run-on sentences in this email. They are. Well, it also sounds like this is not their first language.
I don't know. She's from Southeastern United States, Kentucky. She says, finally, I want you to apply as a beneficiary and receive the fund and keep it safe so that as soon as you arrive in your country, you will help me invest it in a good, profitable company, and I will give you 30% of the total money for assistance after you have received the money. Well, I don't think now is the best time to be investing $3.5 million in the market, so her timing may be off on that. She says she thinks she can trust us, and we should not try to play with her because she will take us wherever we go. But be honest with her, and you will get a lot from her. She says, I don't need your money for anything other than to keep this money safe for me. If you're willing to partner with me, I look forward to hearing from you and giving you more details about me and the fund. Okay, Sergeant Rosine. So that was a touching little bit of fan mail written to us by Sergeant Rosine. We really appreciate it. We hope you and your unit are doing great in Afghanistan, fighting the gunmen there and finding the money. I wish I had found $3.5 million when I was in Iraq, kind of Three Kings style. That did not happen. That's why I'm talking to you today.
That's just something's not right about that.
You think? She did send pictures of herself. There's one in uniform. Let me pull up the pictures. I'll let you.
Are you sure it's her?
You see it? Well, I mean, I can only.
Is there like.
Why would she lie? Look, here she is in uniform. There she is. It looks like she's sticking somebody.
There
she's
is no smiling. Way this person is real.
There she is sitting in a chair with maybe a menu on her lap. And there.
Oh, wow.
There she is. Like a glamour shot.
That's a fancy selfie.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, how could she not be real? How could she not be real?
Wow. I'm impressed that they got our email.
I'm not. I think it was just random.
You think so? To be honest.
Time to pull down the curtain, folks. I don't think that was real. I don't think that was real. I think that was random.
I would not take that bet.
Yeah. But she did take advantage of contacting us at Fort Hood PAO.
So if she can do it, or he,
yeah,
then if they can do it, dear listeners.
And you can do it too. And we will put your message on here for the world to hear, just like we did with dear whatever her face is in Afghanistan. I've already forgotten.
What if they respond to this interview?
That would be great. I'd love to have her on the show. How are things going in Afghanistan?
We could make it.
What are you doing with your money?
Continuing like series.
Mm-hmm.
Strange emails.
That's a lot of bootleg movies, $3.5 million. That's a lot of bootleg movies.
That is.
And those of you who've been to Afghanistan or are in Afghanistan know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, we have a very unique show this week. We have no Dave. We are Daveless.
Again.
We don't even have Dave on a stick. I didn't have that much forethought. We could have. I totally could have. But
where did
I just,
it go?
It's in the other room.
Oh, okay.
It's in the other room. It's been separated. So Dave's head
is
somewhere,
out there.
And the stick is somewhere. but we hope you feel better. He's a little under the weather. We hope you feel better, Dave.
Yes.
So it's just me and Bree and me.
Mm-hmm.
And later we'll have on the Hood Mobilization Brigade, and they're going to talk coronavirus and quarantining U.S. troops. I can't talk. Quarantining U.S. troops is what they're going to talk.
Mm-hmm.
And later, we'll have a musical section, a special musical section that you are not going to want to miss. Unless, of course, you hate music and then just skip it and go to the next podcast. So with that having been said, we look forward to entertaining you for this next hour or I don't know, however long we keep this going.
As long as possible.
As long as possible. Brianna, want to see us to that first commercial break?
Yes, we'll be right back after these messages.
At a time when kids may be confused by an invisible villain, there's an elite group helping them understand and be safe. They're fighting what's out there by staying in here. They are the Stay Heroes. Meet the Great Hygiene, expert at washing hands and disinfecting surfaces and objects. Dr. Distancio is a master of physical distancing and virtual playdates. And General Fields uncovers emotions and harnesses positivity. Your kids can become Stay Heroes too. Learn how at stayheroes.org.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get this thing rolling. Anybody that needs to check out video equipment, we'll do an official photo.
Let's go.
Get it on camera.
Better come correct on your photo appointment.
On camera.
Better help yourself when checking out video equipment.
Get it on camera.
Better come correct on your photo appointment.
On camera.
Better help yourself when checking out video
music equipment. Music is playing. Music is playing. Music. Let's play.
It's fading out now.
No, it was done. I already faded it.
Okay. I played some music recently.
Did you?
Mm-hmm. For the May the 4th.
May the 4th. How'd that work out?
Well, my woodwind quintet, we played the Cantina Band song, the really popular one. Yeah. Since I have the melody, I was playing that little jig. And we were going to upload it, but then they never uploaded it. So I'm like, man. I did like the little buns in my hair and everything.
Mm-hmm. So you did one of those videos that's so popular on social media
where
everybody's playing a different part. Yeah,
yeah.
Separate but equal.
Yes.
Is that what that's called?
Yes. Yeah, we did that.
Mm-hmm.
But it didn't upload. So
why was that?
I guess our PIO just, I think, my commander put out that he doesn't want us to keep putting out the since there's so much content of that going out, mm-hmm. I think he's worried that it just won't get that much traction.
Too much Star Wars on Star Wars Day?
Well, just too much like social distance playing in general.
Everybody's celebrating the 4th of July. We don't need to do anything for that.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we have the 4th all covered.
How about if we put the video on the podcasts page?
That would be nice.
Give you guys a little love, band love.
You can see the Woodwind Quintet play a little jig.
Is it a jig? Is it technically a jig? Because when I think, so I you think say of it jig, as a jig, and in my head, I close my eyes and I see the guys in the cantina,
mm-hmm.
Walrus Man and all that, mm-hmm. and now they're dancing a jig, and suddenly it's not such an intimidating place.
I think it still is.
Imagine,
that's
can
what
you
I
imagine?
See in my brain.
Luke Skywalker enters the cantina, mm-hmm. right? C-3PO, R2-D2 try to come in. Yeah. Guy says, "We don't serve their kind here." Luke comes in, and everybody's dancing a jig.
It's a jiggy song. That's what I see.
And you watch Star Wars?
Yeah.
You do? Mm-hmm. You still think it's a jig, huh?
I think so.
All right. Well...
We in all my have, head it is.
We all have our own cross to bear.
I'll make a fanfic about it.
Will you? I will.
I'll get really deep into the lore.
We'll also post that on the...
No one was going to want that.
No one. One
no
like.
No one will read this.
One like, thanks, Mom. Did you read it? Yeah, no.
One download.
Okay. No, you probably get more than that.
Maybe three.
Yeah, maybe three. Maybe three. Well, moving on from jigs.
Okay.
We have... a duo of exciting guests.
I'm excited.
Right now.
Yay.
They are from the Hood Mob Brigade.
Ooh.
Now, this brigade is in charge. Whenever you see a large group of soldiers moving about, that's what this brigade is in charge of.
Okay.
Large mobs of soldiers, whether it be in a parade or milling about in a field, when that happens, these guys take control. Is that right? Do I have that correct?
Sure.
That sounds intimidating.
Yeah, absolutely. It's legit.
Okay.
Plus, we have some additional duties that we do, but that's probably a good assessment.
Right. Okay.
Why don't you two introduce yourselves to our listening audience, if you would, please?
Sure. So I'm Colonel Dave Dean, commander of the 211th RSG out of Corpus Christi that is mobilized here for a year to take on the role of the Hood Mob Brigade.
All right. And you are, sir?
I'm Captain Busuego. I'm part of the S4, but I'm the acting liaison at North Fort Hood.
All right, and what's your first name, Captain?
Elias.
Elias, that is a good first name. That is a solid first name.
Thank you.
You should have led with that, Elias.
You can say it again.
Elias.
That's awesome.
Oh, okay. I meant your full name.
Was that more epic?
Yeah, that's very epic. I'm going to add some effects to that. It's going to be seriously
do the cheer,
epic.
The clapping. Yay!
Elias.
Welcome.
All right. So
I personally think that it is not a jig.
Oh.
The song.
Oh.
But I do think it is part of the Jedi Knight training program that they put together.
Oh.
So all those individuals that are in the bar are actually wanting to be Jedi Knights. And I think that's part of their training program is to know that song.
Walrus Ooh. Man failed miserably at
yes,
that.
He did.
I'm gonna tell you. Ponda Baba. That's what that guy's name is, right? Ponda Baba. Yeah, we got our Yoda punching stormtrooper in here as well. Although he's not on the podcast, he is lurking in the shadows.
Oh, people ask me about that too.
Do they?
Yeah. Well, there's a bunch of band nerds in my life. So they're all like, wow, that was so cool, the interview.
Well, it's good that people are listening.
Yeah, I thought so too.
Good that people are listening. Now, the Hood Mob Brigade, that's what it actually is, folks. It's not a mob brigade. It's a Mob Brigade. Mob stands for mobilization. Explain, sir, what is that? I mean, what is a mobilization brigade?
Sure. So typically a regional support group, an RSG, does RSOI operations where we receive equipment and personnel as they enter theater. So a couple years ago, the Army thought that the RSG would be a good fit to do this mobilization brigade, because basically what we do is all Reserve and National Guard soldiers that need to be mobilized through Fort Hood have to go through their process of finance, medical, receive their equipment, and so forth. So we manage that first 5 days.
Okay.
And then transfer the soldier off to our partners, the 120th Infantry Brigade or the 166th Aviation Brigade, part of First Army. so they can get validated for their training. Okay. And then we turn them back over to us and we fly them out. And then when they return back, we coordinate their demobilization process.
Wow, that's an important job.
For reservists and National Guard, mm-hmm. it absolutely is. Pay schedules can be different. Pay programs can be different. Administrative wills, testaments, just making sure that the soldier has his baseline in terms of medical fitness and so forth. So when he comes back home, you know, his DD-214, which is the form that the VA wants and so forth, yep. is done well, and that he is set up for success when he gets back home, both on the civilian side and the military side.
Yeah, I don't think the normal citizens, mm-hmm. The normal citizen realizes that you don't just go to war. You don't just go somewhere. It is a long process of standing in lines and getting shots and signing papers.
It's almost like Disney World.
Yeah. I mean,
except with all the rides.
That's exactly right.
It's like the worst.
Well, we give Disney you a free World. Ride. We give you a free ride somewhere, right?
Oh, yeah. That's
we're not
true.
Saying you're Space Mountain, but we're going somewhere.
What was that? The Chinese Disneyland that was a failure where they tried to, it was like defunct land, I think.
Defunct land?
Yeah,
I don't think they would intentionally name it
defunct
land.
No, they did. It was a failure. They tried to make a knockoff Disney parody and it's abandoned now. People, you can visit it as like a tourist. Like
well, that
a,
sounds very Chinese. You know, they actually, they do have an issue with copying things. And they actually copied an entire like Swiss town where the town didn't even know this and saw pictures and yes. were like, what the hey? That's us.
But isn't that flattery? Like imitation is the highest form of flattery. So wouldn't they be like honored, do you think?
I don't think so much.
No.
No.
No one wants a copycat.
So, Elias, what is your role in all of this?
So I am the liaison at North Fort Hood, and I'm responsible for facilitating the administration and logistics for the units that are redeploying and those that are moving forward for deployments. So there's a lot of moving parts, a lot of teams that I work with, mm-hmm. And it really takes a village to fight this virus and to mitigate spread. Mm-hmm. I just pretty much oversee, you know, the teams that are providing life support, you know, transportation, and I communicate with the 3rd Cavalry Regiment, who directly deals with the cohorts that are in quarantine, and they provide the meals, escorts. So I share information with them, and then with the civilian employees up there, I just make sure that they're informed on all aspects.
So hold on here. Not only are you guys making sure that guards, you just say, I can't say guardsmen in 2020, guards people and reservists mm-hmm. are getting out the door and coming back properly and safely and all the T's are dotted and the I's are crossed, mm-hmm. you're dealing with coronavirus
wow.
as well.
Yeah, so we took the mission about 6 March, and then the COVID quarantine mission started about 9 March.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to jump right into it.
So explain the quarantine mission to me, because I am the Fort Hood social media manager. And early on, when coronavirus was just new and shiny mm-hmm. to us, we'd get a lot of messages on social media saying, I hear there are 400 soldiers who have coronavirus in North Fort Hood, and they're putting them in camps and keeping them from people. So what is it? Tell me about the coronavirus in North Fort Hood. What's actually happening there?
So over the last 45 days mm-hmm. since March 9th, you know, with the Center of Disease, identified level 2 and level 3 countries mm-hmm. That had the potential for our soldiers to be infected, right? So in order to protect the soldier, in order to protect the family members and protect the civilian population back home in their hometown, the Army decided to quarantine soldiers for 14 days.
Yeah, right? Everybody, whether
you had
it or not.
Doesn't matter if you're active duty, guardsman, reservist, or anything. You're just quarantined for 14 days. So as they come off the plane, they are checked, temperature, make sure they have no symptoms. Mm-hmm. Then they come up to North Fort Hood, and they stay there for 14 days. And We have MWR activities and some DMOB activities that they can do while they're there. But the goal is to make sure that they are symptom-free.
Mm-hmm.
And so far, we have had approximately 1,500 soldiers that have been up there, both National Guard, Reserve, and an active component.
Mm-hmm.
And we've had a couple soldiers that have identified symptoms, but a lot of that ends up being the allergies.
Oh, yeah.
From Texas, right?
Absolutely.
So we have been very fortunate where we've had no positive cases, and I'm knocking on wood right now, no positive cases of COVID up at North.
That's Florida. Awesome. You hear that, Facebook conspiracy theorists? None. No
zero
cases.
Goose eggs.
It's and, all precautionary.
And when we talk about, you know, quote, camps, right, they are in hard stand billets, air conditioning. They have several tents out there, so they have MWR, they got free Wi-Fi, they have a gym that's accessible to them, they have access to a track, they have access to laundry, so they can do that type of stuff. The AFES has set up a mini mart up there, so they can buy any of that Powerade monster drinks that they all like, or chips and so forth, and also if they want to order something online through AFES, it can be delivered to their area. So
that's cool.
Yeah, so they are not, there's no, like, you know, patrolmen running around there, and they have clearly identified areas that they need to stay in, and they're monitored twice a day.
I have been up there. I've tromped around and seen it, and that mini mart is amazing. You can purchase stuff without interacting with someone. It's all done, you know, near field communication. Scan your phone, scan your this, you get it. The folks I saw, there were a bunch of people playing the new Call of Duty online, people on phones with their families, just kind of hanging out. If you've ever deployed with the Army, I was in Operation Iraqi Freedom. I was part of that twice.
Thank you.
Before, you're welcome. before you go into Iraq, you would go into Kuwait and hang out. And this is very much like that was. It's just like you've come back and now you're hanging out for 2 weeks, acclimating. And yeah, like you said, those symptoms being like allergy symptoms. We were just discussing last week on the podcast, at any given time, any of us could have at least one or two symptoms of coronavirus, but we don't have coronavirus. I've had a lingering cough from drainage for the last 2 months.
Oh, we hear it.
Yeah, thank you.
The listeners hear it. You cough on every podcast.
Do I? Yes, are you tracking you that?
Yes. Hey, I'm keeping a tally.
If you're listening out there and following along at home, count how many times I've coughed on the podcast.
I actually know.
Send the total in, and you might win a prize. But you probably won't. But you might win a prize.
Or on the email. Send us an email.
So logistically, how has everything been working with having that kind of people coming in? Was this something that you were prepared for?
It was definitely a challenge at first, just figuring out all of the requirements and getting everything together. I think we did have, you know, minimal time to prepare for it, but we you know, as we go along, we continually adjust and we improve our processes and our information flow. And yeah, I think it's pretty steady right now. Everyone has this muscle memory to get things done. And I mean, the team is great. I give a lot of credit to our guys up there and just what they're doing. They're just giving 100%.
Great.
Logistically, what's been the biggest challenge?
There are a few. I could give one example. So we had some mobilization units that, you know, got the green light to move forward. And they entered the quarantine space with short notice, and they had a bunch of packages and excess baggage that they needed to mail out. And obviously, you know, an influx of soldiers going to the mailroom is a civilian employee concern. So we, to facilitate that, we provided us a few scales to the unit and some boxes, and we just gave them instructions on how to, you know, prepare their packages and get their labels printed out. And our team would consolidate them, lock them into a container for a period of time, and then bring them to the mailroom.
To make sure, just in case.
Right. Yeah, just to mitigate risk and to basically reduce exposure to the civilian employees out there.
Absolutely, because it's all about safety.
Right.
It's all about safety, and you never can be too safe. Mm-hmm. Were you saying it was about 2 years that you were anticipating this?
Well, I think, you know, quarantine might be something that the whole world looks at. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I don't think there's really a good timeline to set where we were going to stop operations.
Sure.
But I can tell you, so since we rotate out, I've already started speaking with the unit that replaces us, mm-hmm. and kind of informed him on some of the changes that are going on that, you know, that just change daily and so forth. So, you know, all these additional tasks take, there's no book to it, right? There's no book that the Army can open up and say, hey, this is how you're going to do it. But you know, there's a special skill, there's a talent, there's a type of soldier that, you know, wants to help others to make sure that they're safe. So as they start transitioning with us, we'll make sure that skill set and that job requirement is there. And then this way it's flawless when our replacements get here.
Well, you know, what's really great is because this is so unprecedented, mm-hmm. you guys are kind of making history.
Get to make it up.
Yeah. And the decisions that you make and the templates that you create are going to move forward and help other soldiers and the Army well into the future. I mean, you guys are really trendsetters on this.
Yeah, you know, again, we only know what we know, right? So we get a lot of feedback from the units that are here now and then the units that leave. We take some of their comments. And while, you know, there's great communication between everything. So, you know, you think you have something right. Mm-hmm. But when somebody on the outside or is in the cantonment area says, or the quarantine area says, hey, I think we could do this. That's a great way to learn. And that's how we've built a lot of our policies and procedures is feedback from what we think and then feedback from what the soldiers are saying.
Is there any, is there any issue of you guys running out of space for the people that need to be quarantined? Or is there, will there always be, a backup that soldiers can go to?
Yeah, no. So there's two locations right here in Fort Bliss that soldiers are being quarantined to. But as of now, you know, we have not exceeded any capacity or capability that Fort Hood has been able to provide to us. We have that flexibility to move, you know, both from a mobilization standpoint to a demobilization quarantine operation.
It's not like we're ever going to run out of space.
Yeah, we're always monitoring. Coming in, who's mm-hmm. moving out, and just to manage space. So we have a high visibility on that.
That's great.
Now, Colonel Dean, a little stormtrooper tells me that you were kind of set up for success in this. It's kind of kismet because in your civilian career, you work for FEMA. Is that correct?
I do. I work for Region 3 out of Pennsylvania.
Nice.
Yeah,
so how has that helped you in this unprecedented role?
So I do logistics for FEMA. Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of preparation. There's a lot of forethought that you have to look at it. But one of my other responsibility is the FEMA responder camps.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So part of my job is a COR, the contract officer representative, mm-hmm. is during times where we have a natural disaster. We obviously, the responders don't want to take the hotels away from our survivors that are affected by the disaster. So FEMA will set up a responder camp so that can hold up to 2,000 soldiers. So that includes food, that includes all the administration, the billeting, the air conditioning, MWR, and all that. So it kind of works together with us.
That's amazing. Have you been part of any famous FEMA efforts from the past?
So I've been in I supported California with the wildfires mm-hmm. That happened out in Paradise. And then recently with Hurricane Dorian, I was in Virginia staging supplies for the Norfolk area.
Well, I worked with, not worked, but, you know, alongside FEMA for Hurricane Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And then for when American Samoa had a tsunami.
Okay.
I was there working with FEMA when I was with AFN.
Yeah, those the FEMA, my FEMA coworkers, you know, you guys do a great job. And you know, it's funny, my wife says to me, she goes, during this time period you wouldn't have been home anyway. So if I hadn't been reserved with the Army,
right,
my entire staff is mobilized deployed with FEMA now.
Wow.
So I wouldn't have been home anyway. So
yeah, one way or the other
in the great state of New Jersey. I gotta plug
that
in.
You have a lot of experience then. That's really valuable.
That's absolutely fantastic. I think that's a case of right place at the right time, what we got going
sometimes
on.
Sometimes it's luck, right?
Yeah. Sometimes it's just meant to be.
That's exactly right.
Mm-hmm. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show today. Is there any other information about the Hood Mo Brigade? They're not a mob.
That Are was you a sure joke. About that?
I'm sure that was a joke. Is there anything else you'd like people to know about the Mo Brigade? Because it's a pretty cool thing.
Yeah, it is a great job. And I think one of the great things about it is that we get to work with so many directorates, so many outside agencies, and so many different military organizations on post here. And it really, really is a team effort between green suiters, between civilians, between the contractors, and so forth. And the success that we've had here is because of a team effort. It is not just the Hood Mo Brigade.
No, and the Mo Brigade really is a linchpin in that part of a bigger team. I see that out here. And we want to thank you guys for the hard work you've been doing, because up there at North Fort Hood, you got it's sort of like it's secret. You know, no,
yeah.
you're out of the spotlight, and we're happy to shine that spotlight on you because you guys deserve it. So thank you so much. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much for having us.
Elias. Thank you. All right. So we'll be back with some really exciting stuff. Going to make a left turn from here. I think you're all going to love it right after this.
Hey golfers, are you looking for a new course to play? The Courses of Clear Creek is a 27-hole course with challenging greens located in the scenic rolling hills of Fort Hood. With a 300-yard driving range, two putting greens, and a 4-hole kids course, we're the premier golf course in Central Texas. Our pro shop is always stocked with the latest golfing equipment and name brand apparel, while our beautiful pavilion overlooking the course is a great place to enjoy a cold beverage. The Courses of Clear Creek, open to the public, offering annual, monthly, and summer membership packages. Give us a call today at 254-287-4130 or find us on the web at hood.armymwr.com.
Hey everybody, PFC Kyra Pearl here. You might recognize me from being on Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. It was really great being on the podcast, but now that Brianna's back, well, they kicked me to the curb. Who wrote this?
May, keep reading.
So, while I'm no longer in the know with the rest of the podcast gang, I'm still able to be on the cutting edge of Fort Hood news thanks to the Fort Hood Sentinel. That's Fort Hood's newspaper. You know, the one that comes out every Thursday.
I think that's Thursday.
But you typed the Fort Hood Sentinel comes out on Thursday.
Well, just keep reading.
They're an all-inclusive paper with something for everyone. You want Army news? They got it. Sports news? They got it. Health news? They got it. Kind of funny cartoons? They got it. Anything at all? They got it, baby. They got it.
No. Give me that. That's not the way you're supposed to read it. It goes like this. All right? They're an all-inclusive newspaper with something for everyone. You want Army news? They got it. Sports news? They got it. Health news? They got it. Kind of funny cartoons? They got it. Anything at all? They got it. Devin, you ever heard that song?
No.
Must be a generational thing. All right, we'll read the last part.
Okay. The Fort Hood Sentinel. Local news, sports, lifestyle, and even a crossword. Every Thursday. You got it.
No, you got it. Well, whatever. They got it.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
It's not that I don't mean it. Da, 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 da. Do you know what that is?
Animal Crossing?
No, Tonight Show.
Oh, okay.
So during the break, Specialist Brianna Dew,
yes,
I had time to do some fact checking.
Okay.
All right. I could find no reference to a fake Chinese Disneyland on the internet. I found other amusement parks that had gone defunct, but no reference to anything that was directly ripping off Disney.
Well, they can't directly rip off Disney because then they'll get copyrighted.
You think China cares about copyright infringement? Seriously.
I'm sure they do.
All our Chinese fans are laughing heartily right now.
Well, I'm not laughing.
Well, they are.
Okay.
Because you're not a Chinese fan, I'm assuming.
Well, no. But my last name is Chinese.
Is it really?
Yeah. Du? Du is, it's Hawaiian Chinese.
Hawaiian Chinese.
Yes.
Hawaiianese.
Hawaiianese. It was D-O. That's the Chinese spelling.
Oh, okay.
But they're like, we're Hawaiian. We're going to add another O.
Oh, and then that explains the ukulele emoji at the end of it, too.
Yes.
I was, however, able to find reference to my thing that I talked about. But
which one?
With a correction. Sorry, everybody. You know, we're fact-based. So that means when we make a mistake, we own up to it. I made a mistake. There is no Swiss village that's been copied by the Chinese.
Oh.
It's Austrian. It's an Austrian okay. village. Yeah. It's a complete knockoff village. So they moved from doing purses and fashion accessories, DVDs, mm-hmm. Computer parts to entire towns. No. It's a replica of Hallstatt, a centuries-old village in Austria. And it's been opened in the Chinese province of Guangdong. And it's been a little controversial.
Yeah.
Because the folks didn't take kindly to their city getting ripped off. Yeah. But there's no real law about that, is there?
I still feel like they should be flattered.
They should.
That's my stance.
Well, see, the thing is, so now instead of all these tourists visiting their country.
Oh, okay, I can see
they
that.
Can just go to China and visit, so they're killing their taxpayer dollars.
I mean, did it really hurt their industry that much?
Well, I don't know.
I don't know how thriving their
Hallstatt.
That's what I'm trying to say.
But not that we have anything against Hallstatt. Hallstatt, no, if you're listening, we love you. we would be more than pleased to do a podcast from Hallstatt if you would have us. Contact us, forthoodpao@gmail.com. If you'll arrange the airfare. And I guess we'd probably need some sort of transformer so our board didn't blow up on their power, 220 power. If you can hook us up with that and maybe some beverages and lunch, we'll do it.
Man, you have the logistics all planned out.
I did.
Already.
And that was right off the top of my head. That's how that works. It was like butter.
I don't know if that's going to happen, though.
You don't think so?
Mm.
Hey, I'm holding out for hope. I'm an optimist. I say Hallstatt by at least the year 2040 will be there.
I'll hold you to that.
All right. check with me in 2041. Check back with me. We'll call that, you know, I've already picked out a name for that episode.
Oh.
It's called I Told You So.
With 3 exclamation points.
Yes. Absolutely. So, Brianna.
Yes.
I understand you are a talented individual.
And
not,
I try.
Not just with the flout. But with something else as well.
Also the pick.
Yes, the pick.
Yes. That's short for piccolo.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I thought it was a hair thing.
Oh.
I was like, okay. All right. Not that I've ever seen evidence of that, but don't
hey,
go with that.
I do a pretty good job. I do a better job on my wigs than my real hair.
All right. So do I. Brianna Du, would you consider yourself a gamer girl?
I would, yes. I think I fall under the qualification.
What makes a gamer girl? It's got a bunch of R's.
Well, it's just the same as a gamer guy, I think.
So, but explain, give a definition. So maybe some of our listeners are older and aren't as tuned in, so.
What defines a gamer?
Yeah, what makes a gamer girl?
Just someone that enjoys playing video games.
So any girl that enjoys playing video games, because my wife right now, super into Animal Crossing.
Yes.
Like super into Animal Crossing.
Every time I log on, she's on.
She is crushing my hours played. Absolutely crushing it. So, but that's all she plays. She doesn't play anything else. No interest in anything else. Mm-hmm. And eventually I'll come home one day and she won't have touched Animal Crossing, and it will just, all her villagers will die.
We'll leave her.
That'll be the end of that.
They'll vacate.
Is she a gamer girl?
Maybe not. I mean, I still consider her to be a gamer because she's playing a video game. Mm-hmm. But there's different, people have different ideas for what it is.
So there's
maybe someone
levels.
That's devoted. Yes.
There's a hierarchy of gaming.
Yes, yes, there is.
No, I would agree.
Sure.
I would definitely
agree. No, there
agree
is.
There
you're
is.
Right.
There's, I don't know how many times I've stood in some big box store like a wall store or store with
Superstore
with Target as
the
a
blue
logo.
Color. Oh yeah, the the Target logo.
Yeah, Target logo store. And I've been in the video game section, and somebody else is there, my age, maybe a little bit younger, looking at video games. I'm listening to what they're saying or telling their friend, and I'm silently judging them. There's definitely a hierarchy of gamers. Have you ever been in a store where, like, a mom or a grandmother, grandfather is trying to pick out a present for a kid, and they've turned to the store employee for advice, and you're sitting there biting your tongue going, no, that's not right. No, you're
well, I actually, I don't know if you know this. My first job was at a GameStop.
Was it really?
Yes. So I have been in that situation, but as the employee and not as the stand, like the stand.
All right. What was that? What was that like?
Very cringy.
Was it?
Yes.
I'll tell you, I don't know if you know this about me, but my first job, which was making model airplanes so my third job was at a video game store.
What?
Yes, and then I worked my way up to manager.
Oh my goodness. What store was it?
It was called Toyrific.
Toyrific.
It was regionally specific to Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Okay.
And eventually they expanded into Wisconsin. The last Toyrific store just closed down.
R.I.P.
A couple years ago.
Oh. Shout out to Toyrific.
Toyrific. Rip. Brother, whatever kissy thing. And then when I enlisted in the Army, there was that uncomfortable time where I didn't have a job, but I was gonna be heading out soon.
Yes, the interim.
So I decided to get a job at Game Crazy. And so I worked at Game Crazy.
I've never heard of
which
that
was,
either.
Yeah, it was, you've never heard of Game Crazy? How old are you again?
Oh, I'm 29 now.
Uh-huh. Oh, happy birthday.
I just had my birthday.
Happy birthday.
Thank you.
Moving on, Game Crazy was a store that was attached to a video store. And it was like GameStop.
You're from Kansas, right?
Originally, but at this time I was in Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota. Okay, I was about to say, I've never heard of these stores.
So Game Crazy was all over the place. Crazy.
What?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah. But so I've worked video game retail a lot.
Nice.
I've also been an editor for Die Hard Game Fan magazine.
Wow.
And I've been a contributing writer for Kotaku.
So where would you rank yourself then?
In the game hierarchy?
Gamer hierarchy, yes.
Oh, pretty near the top.
Mm.
I speak with authority.
Your knowledge far surpasses mine, I will
say. I have
a
lot of useless game knowledge.
You do.
I do. And I bet people out there are wondering, why are they talking about video games? They're just, get on to something about the Army. Come on, blow something up. Well, dear listeners, thank you for staying with us this long. Because we are joined in here by two other people that are wearing Army uniforms. Two other people. Why don't you introduce yourself to the world?
All right. I am Staff Sergeant Matthew Harrison. I'm a clarinet player with the 1st Cav Band.
All right.
I'm Sergeant Sonia Larson, and I play bassoon with the 1st Cav Band.
We got a bunch of band-aids. What are you guys called?
Yep.
Musicians.
Musicians.
Army musicians.
I've heard of that.
Yes.
So you've probably heard military bands before, and you think of marching music or maybe the Gary Owen song. You know that song. So something like that, something patriotic. Well, the 1st Cav Band has a little something special up their sleeve, something out of the ordinary, something progressive. So, kind of. I got the little kind of thing over there. So, Sergeant Harrison, tell us about what are you guys planning?
Okay, so my introduction into music, we're talking like 2 decades ago, back in middle high school, video game music was always kind of the driving force behind me being a musician.
Oh, cool.
I would always dig into back then it would be Donkey Kong, Final Fantasy, those games back on Super Nintendo era.
Mm-hmm.
And I would try to basically figure out how to play them on a clarinet.
Okay.
Yeah, with no sheet music whatsoever. I didn't fully comprehend that I was just kind of doing ear training, basically, or trying to figure this stuff out on the fly. I was just I'm trying to figure out the melodies as I'm listening to it, just playing it on my clarinet in my room while I've got the game playing.
Sure, playing you know, along with it.
Because, you know, back then, like, MP3 players weren't even a thing, so mm-hmm. that was the only way to do it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, through the years, that was basically what my musical inspiration always came from. And as, you know, music technology, you know, became, you know, further and further more advanced.
Sure.
I eventually started to get into, like, actual, like, music production and eventually got to the point where I was starting to do covers of my favorite video game tracks back from when I was a kid.
So still on a woodwind or with electronic music now?
Oh, with electronic music.
Okay.
Like, and really kind of experimenting with a bunch of different genres. Like I would use Ableton Live as my audio workstation.
Oh, okay.
But then I will dig into using like, you know, drum samples, mm-hmm. Orchestral sample libraries, things of that nature.
All right, cool.
And then even just like software synthesizers. So like I've experimented really from like from orchestral to, you know, different types of electronic, you know, dance music, things mm-hmm. like that. And, you know, and doing covers.
So what synthesizer do you use when creating music?
It's really which one don't I use at this point.
So are you using software synthesizers then or are physical? So a software synthesizer, mm-hmm. dear listeners, are a synthesizer that's being synthesized on a computer, right? So you Correct. Can call up and then it will mm-hmm. approximate the sound of the synthesizer.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I myself have a Moog or Moog, as they call them in the United States. I prefer the British pronunciation because of the Beatles.
Yeah, it looks like Moog.
Yeah, it does. And let's be honest, Moog sounds cool.
You're just trying to be sound fancy.
Well, I have one of those at home. And it's still in the box.
Oh.
Eventually, someday, I will take it out and become a famous musician. But for now, it's resting peacefully. So you evolved your music, and how does that bring us here today with the band?
Okay, so this big idea that really I've had in my head for like more than a decade now.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been to a lot of concerts that were strictly for video game music.
Sure,
like just they would pull a bunch of old pieces from Final Fantasy, orchestrate them. And I mean, I went to a concert in Chicago back in 2011, and it was still to this day the greatest live musical performance I've ever seen, because you're getting like these opera singers, you're getting the pipe organ, just full orchestra, and they're just tearing it up. It's amazing.
Yeah. For those people who haven't played a game since there were arcades, video game music has evolved beyond bleeps and bloops into fully symphonic.
Yes.
I mean, when you buy a game soundtrack now, it can span multiple discs mm-hmm. if you're into that CD thing, mm-hmm. multiple files if you download, but multiple discs, and they are very involved. They are truly, truly orchestral mm-hmm. now. Yeah. So it's not just doom, 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 doom.
I still love the old school music.
Yeah, yeah,
I do. The 8-bit.
But it's really quite something. Mm-hmm. So you're hoping.
Okay, so our plan is to basically just have like a first cav video game music concert.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been, and you know, before we left for Germany back in March, we were starting to workshop a lot of ideas.
Ah, the German debacle. Yeah. Yes.
We were starting to, you know, put together, you know, some ideas, like if we were to assemble like a 1-hour set list and just, you know, kind of pick some of the most popular music, because when you start to dig in to 3 decades worth of video game music, it is incredibly easy to get lost because mm-hmm. you have just an insane amount of repertoire to pull from. And so you have to be really, really selective to say, hey, what are the most popular, most recognizable tunes? You got to go with those. Mm-hmm. Maybe throw in a few more, like, you know, big epic things that you know are going to, you know, blow the crowd away. But
sure.
for the most part, it's picking the most recognizable stuff, like, you know, Mario, Zelda.
You're trying to appeal to a broad audience.
Exactly. And especially because a lot of those characters, you think, like, they've crossed a generational gap because mm-hmm. they were in
absolutely.
They were in games in the 80s, in the 90s, 2000s, 2010s.
No, we had that
coming out today.
Our first guest on the podcast was Charles Martinet, the voice of Mario.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that how Mario has really bridged the gap with that That's mm-hmm. amazing.
Yeah. My 1-year-old boy is running around with a little stuffed Goomba this morning. Oh. Yeah.
And for all those kids out there that don't know, a Goomba is a mushroom that Mario jumps on. I'm also serving as translator here. Quick poll. Brianna, what was your first video game soundtrack?
Oh, first video game soundtrack?
Yes. First video game soundtrack that you bought. I'm sure you purchased one. What was it?
Oh, I actually didn't have a lot of money.
You just got to have one. It's the first one.
Oh, man. I think the first one I bought was when I was much older. It was Final Fantasy 1.
Which Final Fantasy? The first?
No, it was like the later ones, like the Distant World, like way later.
Distant World?
Yeah, Distant Worlds.
What is Final Fantasy Distant Worlds?
It was the symphonic...
So it's a symphonic suite.
Yes.
It's actually like a compilation of different pieces pulled from various Final Fantasy games.
Wow, look at you, Mr. Yeah. Video Game Music. What was your first video game soundtrack?
So the first one, I was actually buying the game, but it came with the soundtrack. Mm-hmm. It was this game in the 90s called Lunar, the Silver Star
story. Working Designs made that.
Gosh, wow, it's amazing. Yeah.
He has so much knowledge.
But yeah. I actually have the composer as a Facebook friend.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, Noriyuki Iwadare. Yeah. Cool. He's always the first person to wish me a happy birthday because he's, you know, over there in the other time zone.
Yeah, that's cool. Wonderful.
So yeah, I always get a message from Iwadare about like 5, 6 p.m. the day before my birthday.
Wow. Like,
that's a special birthday gift. Larson, what's your first video game soundtrack?
So I'm not as much of a gamer girl as the other people.
Yeah, you just have to have one. You just have to have one.
The first one I actually got on my computer, and it came with the game, was for Civilization 5, which I played a lot.
All right, a computer gamer. Yeah. Mm-hmm. My first video game soundtrack was Chrono Trigger.
Oh, yes, hit.
That was
good pick.
That was my first one. I drove to Chicago from Minneapolis, 6-hour drive, picked up Chrono Trigger at the Mitsuo Marketplace. And I can say Mitsuo, Dave, because there isn't one around here. Nobody's going to Chicago and shopping at Mitsuo.
That's one of the best game soundtracks ever. Like I've arranged like 4 or 5 things from that one.
That's a great soundtrack.
And I know, Sergeant Harrison, you've told me that you arranged a song that got chosen for like a demo or like for a commercial for a video game?
Oh, okay. So yeah, I can elaborate on that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So it was actually 2 years ago. One of the groups that I'm in, it's actually a record label, digital distribution publisher. They do everything. Materia Collective.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard of them.
Oh, there we go. So yeah, 2 years ago we did a StarCraft album,
right.
Like the original StarCraft back in like 96, I think is when it came out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the track that I arranged, it was called Evolution Complete. It was actually used as the promotional trailer for the album.
Oh, that's fantastic.
Because yeah, if for anybody who's not played StarCraft, it's basically kind of like, it's like this space combat sort of game. You've got your human race, you've got this one like kind of primitive alien looking race, and then you have this more advanced technological other, you know, alien race. but yeah, I went with the Zerg, which is the more primitive one.
Okay.
The Zerg race is really based on the idea of like evolving. So it's like you have these looking creatures. And over the course of the game, they can evolve into more scary looking units, kind of like, you know, Pokemon on steroids, I guess. But that's kind of what I did with the cover that I did for that album.
Mm-hmm.
I took one of the tracks that plays when you're actually playing the Zerg race, and I evolved it through a bunch of different types of electronic music. It kind of starts with like this 90s breakbeat style, evolves into drum and bass. And it kind of gets more ethereal and what's the word I'm looking for? Ambient. Boom.
Okay. Oh, ambient. Yeah. I know Ambient. Yeah.
There we go.
Ambient's a friend of mine. Yeah. Well, you know what I think is interesting is we have four people here. None of us are really all that connected. I mean, you guys are musicians, and I've got some CDs at home. But
and you have your the Moog?
I have the Moog in a box.
Yeah.
Got the Moog in a box. The but all four of us, even the person that doesn't really play games that much, all have game soundtracks. And I think that kind of shows the way music has evolved and been made available to people, because 10 years ago, I don't think that many people would have had a game soundtrack. But they've really exploded. We have some live music here today. Our very own Brianna Dew, the so-called flautist. And Sergeant, well, we have that one time where you tried to play.
Hey, I still sounded good.
That's on record. and Sergeant Larson have brought Brianna with her flute and Larson with her oboe.
Bassoon.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely not an oboe, is it?
They're much
yeah.
smaller.
Yeah.
Yep. That's a rocket launcher you got over there.
Yes, I heard that.
Potato launcher.
They are going to play some selections from the game Animal Crossing, is that
yes.
correct?
Yes.
All right, so why don't you guys get suited up?
Okay.
Grab your instrument. That sounds bad. Grab your musical horn. Thingies. Horns. Also sounds bad. and regale us with
all right.
stuff. that was fantastic. Well, we'll be right back with more. No, I'm just joking. So we had that music, and we will have more coming up right after this.
If you've got problems and feel like you just can't get answers, there's a place for you to turn. The Inspector General's Hotline. They take your issues seriously. If you're at the end of your rope and need someone to reach out to, grab a pen and take down this number. 254-287-7209. That's 254-287-7209. The Fort Hood Office of the Inspector General. They inspect generals, so you don't have to.
Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast. 50% of the time, they're right. 50% of the time.
Coming on strong on a Monday. I feel so low. Won't be long.
Oh, that was lovely. That was lovely. You know, I play Animal Crossing, and my yes. favorite music from Animal Crossing is actually the 4 a.m. music. It plays from
you mentioned
between
that.
4 and 5 a.m., and it's synth and piano.
You were saying that's the best
it is the
time
best.
Of the day to play
the best.
It.
Yeah, there's nothing I to do between up. 4 and 5 in the morning, yeah. but the music is cool.
Yeah, I've never played during that time.
I've never played during that time either. When you told me that, I was like, oh, I had no
it's
idea what
pretty
the music
awesome.
Was.
What's weird is I heard somebody online complaining about the music at 3 a.m. They're like, it's just random sounds, and it's annoying. And yeah, it is. I got up early to hear it one day. And
actually, so I don't know if this is true or not, but I heard if you turn like a TV on at like 3 a.m., it has like this creepy like crackling screen, and it kind of looks like horror.
Are you?
Yes, I saw that.
Hold on. Serious?
Yes.
Okay.
I forget the white noise. I'm like, what is that screen called when it's like, when it's white? It's the white noise.
Being?
What?
Okay, it's kind of normal when there's no signal going into the TV. Yeah. It just means that there's no channel.
No, but you can't change the channel, though, can
Brianna,
you?
Brianna, come sit down. Sit down and let's have a talk. Now, when Charlie was a little boy, the TV stations would go off the air at a certain time, but they would come back on the air at a certain time.
No, I know what screen you're talking about.
Between that, there'd be this crackly thing, and nobody thought it was horrific at all. We just thought, oh, the TV channel's not on the air.
No, that screen is creepy. They use that in horror movies all the time.
That just means that the TV doesn't have a signal.
Yes, but they like horror movies use that to make it scary. Like something comes out of the TV or there's a jump scare.
Well, everybody, I want to thank you for sticking with us this long, if you have. If you haven't, nuts to you. Nuts to you. We're the number one podcast. You aren't. Eat it. So, do you have any message to those people that didn't stick around?
Man, you're missing out.
You are. You are. You'll never even
and
know.
And shame on you and your family.
You'll never even know. We're giving the winning lottery numbers here in a couple minutes. You could have had them, but nope. Everybody else is going to be rich. They look at you. Why aren't you rich? And you'll be like, I didn't listen to the podcast.
That's right. The source of all of your problems.
That's right. Not listening to the podcast.
Not listening to Fort Hood's Great Big Podcast.
That's true. Well, you want to tell everybody goodbye, Gracie?
Goodbye, Gracie.
That's what George Burns used to say.
Who?
George Burns.
Who's that?
Are you serious?
George Burns.
You don't know George Burns? That definitely signals the end of the podcast for today. All right, everybody.
I still don't know who he is.
We'll talk about that off air.
Okay.
All right. Say goodbye.
All right. Goodbye, folks, and we hope you tune in next week.
Yep, we'll see you next week. And the winning lottery numbers are 2, 14, 30.
Starts thinning and cracks crumble, the gravel lands just on the travel, though I know.